OK Team, a Young Designer's Guide, with your hosts, Kristen Periclios, Mark Sela, and Dan Lawson. If you could take a moment to subscribe to us, that would really help us out a lot, and it'll help you get notified every time we post a new episode.
This is episode 17, Leveling Up.
All right, I have to ask, have you guys watched Invincible?
I've seen the first season.
I just watched the second.
Crazy.
Really? Lauren, do you
haven't seen any of it?
Do you have Amazon? Amazon Prime? Dude, watch it.
First episode, life-changing.
It is so good. So good.
Give me a synopsis. I haven't heard of this before.
What?
No, I straight up have never even heard of what you're talking about.
Dude, Mark, like you can say like, okay. You can really say very little because there's things that you find out.
Oh crap. How can you? Wait a second. This is what we're going to do.
Do not Google the summary.
That's 100% what he was going to do. Put it IMDb. It's an animated superhero show.
Okay.
Let me see here. It is so good.
About a Superman-like character in his family.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Here it is. Mark Grayson is straight from Wikipedia, so we know it's true. Mark Grayson is seemingly a normal teenager whose father, Nolan, is the most powerful superhero on the planet shortly after his 17th birthday. I guess we could say this. Mark begins to develop powers of his own and learns how to wield them with help from his father.
Mm-hmm.
I can't read that second part of this. It's so good and very adult.
Yeah.
Very adult. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Gotcha, gotcha.
It's very bloody, lots of swearing.
Mm-hmm.
It's maybe so good. But everybody that you know and love is in this. Like, part of the cast from like Brooklyn Nine-Nine is in there. There's people from Community in there.
The guy that plays Jameson from Spider-Man.
Yeah, he's one of the stars. Wait, let me go back here. Reopen closed tab. See what I did there? Reopen the closed tab.
Whoa.
Mark Hamill, Lauren Cohen, Zach Quinto, who was from Heroes, and also Spock, Seth Rogen, Jason Mantzoukas.
Oh, yes. Love him.
Sandra Oh, Gillian Jacobs, J.K. Simmons.
J.K. Simmons, that's what I was thinking of.
The main character, dude without his nose from Fallout.
Oh, I forget his name.
Yeah.
It's very good.
It's like Walton Giggin or something like that.
I love that guy. He's in it. Jason Mantzoukas is just Jason Mantzoukas in it. I mean, he's wonderful. And Seth Rogen doesn't laugh once, so I was fine. He was great. He's an alien named Alan. That's it. Just Alan. You got to see it though. I think you'd love it.
So good. Yeah. First episode alone. I mean, it hooks you for the rest of your life.
Yeah. It's so good.
Okay, team.
Oh, see, you did it. You took it. I was about to say okay, team. But you did the okay, team.
Taking the reins. Yeah.
So you know, you said you were coming in at kind of a subordinate level, but you know what? You went in there. You took the captain out. She's owning it. Yeah, she is.
Look at me pulling 100% of the weight immediately.
Immediately, 100% of the weight. Let's talk about the obvious. We have the wonderful, talented Lauren DeMarc's guest hosting for Kristen Periclios. We wish her well. She is in Florida. She's on vacation with her family, Universal Studios. Well-deserved vacation. But we have the wonderful Lauren DeMarc, who was a guest on a very successful episode of ours, by the way. You are a senior UX designer at OpenField.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to go somewhere with this. I don't remember where. I already said the brilliant thing. She has great hair. Rocks the horn-rim glasses. In a cool way, though. In a cool way. Not in like a Woody Allen way, but in a cool way.
Yeah, thank you for saying Woody Allen's name and my name in the same sentence. Love that for me.
How many people listening to this really know who Woody Allen is, though? All right. So, Lauren, we've got you on here for a few episodes. Hopefully you will come back when Kristen comes back and you know, have fun with us and
Oh, yeah.
Cue the fat. But what are we going to be talking about tonight?
Today, we're going to be talking about leveling up as a designer. This will be an episode full of kind of personal experiences, some helpful advice about what it actually means to level up in some tangible ways, but I think also some kind of softer ways, and we can get into those later on.
So what would you consider to be leveling up?
So at a high level, leveling up.
Zing.
There we go.
So it's essentially kind of taking the next step in your career on the surface level. It can, of course, be, you know, getting more proficient at design, getting better at the software, you know, your design craft is better than it was before. But I think it's also a little bit more than that. Like we kind of touched on in my episode, it also equates to kind of a higher level of thinking as, you know, a designer that is maybe leveling up to a mid or senior level. You might be considering more like the business goals of who you're working with or the product that you're working on. You're thinking about systems and how what you're designing, how that works with the other parts of the product. But it's essentially thinking about the way that what you're working on relates to what people on other teams are working on. If you're working on a digital product with perhaps like a physical counterpart, like how did those interact? Essentially just thinking outside of your little silo.
Cool. Now, Dan, you're coming from a completely different perspective here. You're freelance, sir. Own your own freelance business. Do you have a standard that you would consider leveling up? Like, is there a point where you're just like, okay, this is something that I've done. I've clearly leveled up to this more advanced area.
Well, I think just starting my own business, going out on my own as a freelancer, I think for me was leveling up. I spent, I would say, most of my graphic design career stepping sideways.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of always in this like lateral move. So I think getting to the point where not necessarily having the confidence to go out on my own, but having done it long enough and having the network and the connections, is what gave me the ability to go out on my own. And I think that's finally what I did to level up, was just stepping out on my own and, not making as much money necessarily as I was, because, you know, it takes a few years to get rolling. But I still consider that a level up.
Mm-hmm.
So Lauren, let's kind of get back to what you were talking about, because you're obviously you're working in a different in a different environment. Is it, and actually this is a question really for both of you, is it apparent what that direction is sometimes? When you're actually sitting at the position, is it apparent that, yes, I need to go for this type of promotion, or what a title change does, or responsibilities, or any of this that we're going to be talking about, is it really apparent when you're sitting in the job? What your next level is?
Yeah, I think for me, at least, it really wasn't. And I think that that's primarily because when I started at OpenField, we had more or less a flat structure. And so like everyone there was a UX designer, and it's my first job. So it honestly had never occurred to me that I could get promoted. And one day, 2.5-ish years in, they decided to kind of add some of that kind of hierarchy to the company so that people could kind of visualize a pathway of growth. And I feel bad, but like kind of without asking for it, they were like, yeah, we're creating a hierarchy and you're promoted now. Congratulations. And I was like,
that's awesome.
Thank you very
much. That is awesome. That is awesome. And I think that's really important, mm-hmm. not only to have growth in the company, but to almost create a positive competition within the employees to where, I don't know if competition is the right word, mm-hmm. but to have something higher to aim toward. Mm-hmm. And see, and Mark knows this about, I've always worked in just like smaller kind of like mom and pop shops. I've just always had a feel for that. Mm-hmm. So that's never really existed in my world. When you work in little mom and pop shops like that with just a handful of people, you just are what you are, and you're mm-hmm. in what you're in. And that's kind of the reason I've stepped laterally, because I've always stepped into other mom and pop shops, and you just kind of, that's where you are. There is no hierarchy of any kind. There isn't anything to grow toward or.
Mm-hmm. I think yes and no. I imagine, like, even though on paper you're moving laterally, I'd imagine that you're still moving up in a way, because you're doing work that you were aspiring to do. Like,
absolutely.
Even another mom and pop shop, you know, you're like, I want to do that. And moving up means that you get to do the cool thing now.
Right. And I'm always learning. And I've told Mark, one of my favorite quotes is from a high school teacher. She said, when you stop learning, you stop being an artist. So I am always learning things. So on that end, I am always leveling up. I'm always learning a new program. I'm learning how to do something new. So personally, I'm leveling up like in that way, where I'm growing in my craft, just mm-hmm. not necessarily like in a tangible way of that I'm growing in a company.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of the other side of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think in those softer ways too, like I've absolutely seen growth in the agency that I work in. I am, as an aside, notoriously terrible at setting hard metrics for goals. And so when I, you know, fill out, you know, performance reviews at the end of the year, I always kind of reflect back. I'm like, what are some things that I did this year that a year ago I would have been terrified to do, not been able to do, felt like out of my comfort zone? And I kind of use that as like a softer metric for like, oh, I leveled up a lot this year because I started doing project management stuff. And like, I couldn't have imagined doing that a year ago. And now I am kind of comfortable doing it and like it. And so like, that's leveling up too, but not in like a hard kind of tangible metric way of like, oh, this means it. You know, I have like a raise or like a promotion associated with that skill.
I think it's really interesting, because I know that you and I have had conversations several times where you're just like, yeah, I'm, you know, I don't have these very defined goals sometimes, and I imposter syndrome here and there. And so you come off as completely confident. You just do, at least in the time that I've known you. You always come off as very confident. So in a way, it's kind of nice to hear that you experience the same things that everybody else does.
Normal people.
The normal people. The plebs. Yeah. I think it's also interesting that the kind of the cohort that you hung out with in college, I think you're all senior designers now, which seems like you guys are at really young ages. You have become senior designers, which I think, knowing that group, it's not a surprise, but it's still unprecedented in a way. When I tell people about, you know, about former students and what they're doing, and I mention you guys and I say that you're senior designers, they're like, how old? I'm like, yes, they're just type A's. That's what it comes down to. They're very type A personalities and so on. Yeah, I think that that's very interesting. So Dan, would you say then in your experience that change in responsibility, an increase in responsibility, so on, that was a good indication to you that you were leveling up then? Because even if you pictured yourself as laterally moving, that perhaps different responsibilities made you feel as if you were leveling up?
So in a small shop, like I said, there's not really like the hierarchy or different departments. Everybody kind of does a little bit of everything. Nobody just has a job that they do. Everyone kind of does everything. So in that, you can garner more responsibility. And a lot of times in doing that, there is a pay increase. So in a way, drawing more responsibility and doing more in the shop will ultimately get you a pay raise and get you growth in the company. And then as well, you're going to keep those skills along the way as you go from job to job or as you move from place to place. And then, of course, we always talk about, you know, the importance of your network. You're always building a network. And I always see that as a win, as a level up when you make a really great networking connection with another company or with a person who has ties to somewhere in the industry or somewhere in another company. Mm-hmm. So I look at leveling up that way, where I'm kind of building my arsenal of either knowledge or people. Mm-hmm.
So Lauren, do you think the reason that your company started in a way restructuring was because they noticed that structure wasn't really beneficial to the growth of the company, that people didn't have anywhere to go, that it was kind of bottlenecked or just stagnant, and they decided that they were going to create greater tiers? Or what do you think?
I don't know for sure, like, what the primary reason was behind that. But I will say that, you know, when they introduced that structure, every person that landed in a new role, it was not a surprise. And so, title aside, it already was kind of there. I mean, the folks that became senior designers, it was very expected that they landed in that role. We also had people promoted to lead and director level, and I was not at all surprised at who ended up there. And I think part of it was just, you know, the team, like, it's a small company, and it's really, I think, kind of easy for some people to think that, like, there isn't a path forward and, like, up and out. And I think that that's just kind of an acknowledgement that, like, this is a place where you can grow as a designer. And, you know, even though there's, like, titles associated with it now, One thing that I do like is that generally they're pretty open about the way, like the path that you take towards your next step. You know, there's myself and another senior designer, and we ended up being interested in different things, and we fell into these roles in different ways, and we currently fulfill them in unique but equally valuable ways. And so, yeah, I think that that's just, I think that's the primary reason behind that.
Do you think that it helped with morale? Do you think it kind of boosted morale in a way that even though some of the people may have been doing the jobs already, that it was recognition that they could have, that they needed or liked?
Yeah, I think it is important in a sense that, like, yes, people do feel recognized for the hard work that they put in. And I think for more kind of junior and associate level designers, it also creates kind of an example. So if someone wants to, you know, move up in the company in the form of a promotion or a title change, they have like examples of people that they can look up to, and they can see the way that they conduct themselves, the way that they interact with clients, and the way that they design as kind of a guide for what to do in order to get rewarded in the same way. I was saying, anyway, Dan, you mentioned that you were in a mentorship program, and I think that like having a mentor is something that can really benefit a young designer that wants to level up. Can you talk a little bit about what that relationship is like?
Well, the reason I was doing it, which is the same reason we're doing this podcast, is to just help a younger generation level up. Mm-hmm. But this was our first week that we met. So it was mainly a lot of introductions, but both myself explaining what I do and the different facets of things that I do and how I've gotten to where I am over the many years that it took me to get here. And then there was probably 9 kids. Half of them were 8th grade, half of them were 9th grade. And it was at a STEAM Academy. So they're part of they're called Tech Ambassadors, which I thought in itself was pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
But yeah,
like, you're a tech ambassador.
Tech ambassador I was in high school.
I love when the Avatar fought them. Oh, it was only for like 2 episodes, but
it was amazing though. But no, so there's 3 leads. There's a girl who's a graphic designer, and then there's a guy who is the hardware guy, and then there's the software guy, and then they each have their own team. Mm-hmm. That kind of like work under them. And this is a high school thing. I'm like, this is absolutely amazing.
That's awesome.
But so today was mostly introductions and kind of filling out like exactly, you know, what, you know, Tech Ambassador was and what each of them do and why the 3 leads are in lead positions. And so that's kind of like really where it was. And then over the next weeks, I think I'm with them for like a month or two. I'll just kind of help them develop where they're going. I'm going to offer them as much advice as I can from my end, but I'm really trying to encourage them to ask me questions. Mm-hmm. So, and they really seem to be really good about it. One guy, really great guy, but he's very, I guess, sheepish. He's very quiet, mm-hmm. introverted. But when I said, you know, I would really like to know what you guys want to learn about, he was the first one to say entrepreneurship and just like threw it out there. And I was like, I'm amazing. On it, buddy. Yeah. So we're already day one making advancements. Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
That's really cool. I have never been a part of like a formal like mentor-mentee program. I think I found that like generally in my life, the people that I would like consider mentors are folks that I've just like at an early point in my design career, like glommed onto and haven't let go. Sorry, Mark and Kristen, to the both of you. And,
are you saying I was a mentor?
Listen, don't get full of yourself. Okay.
Let's everybody calm down.
Yeah.
Just everybody.
I didn't say anything. But
just know Kristen is good because of her association with me. That's what this comes down to.
I'm just saying I met her first. So, in my experience, mentorships happen more or less organically.
Yes.
There is never a moment where I'm going up to someone going like, hey, can you be my mentor? It's like, no, I go to someone that is more experienced and more knowledgeable than me. And I might ask them for guidance on a sticky situation, how to navigate something that's challenging to me. And then that just like keeps happening. And it's mutual too. Like we learn from each other. And so I think that for younger designers, if there's someone that's more senior than you, you like use their expertise and really like work closely with them. Like that's how mentorships I think are often formed.
It's natural relationship building.
Yeah.
You don't just approach somebody in the grocery store and be like, will you be my girlfriend? No, you'd like talk to that person and you eventually get to the point where a relationship grows out of it. And all of a sudden that person's your girlfriend. Mm-hmm. It's really the same sort of thing. It just naturally grows. So I've done a lot of just kind of like one-off, Anthony, Mark's son. I went to his high school and just for a day kind of sat on a panel and answered questions. I've done that with like several different high school classes.
Yeah.
I'm actually on May 14th. I'm going to Kettering Middle School and I'm doing a whole like day.
Nice.
20 minutes presentation like six times. Mm-hmm. But this one that I'm in now at the STEM school is the first where it's actually like an established like mentorship over a period of time. So
that's really cool.
Yeah. It is neat to be involved with stuff like that.
And Lauren, you have been a really good mentor to several of the students at Indiana State University.
Oh yeah, you have great students.
Yeah.
Really talented, just lovely people.
One of them, the first individual, if I am correct, who was like a studio art student, and she was there for your one series of lectures that you did and was like, I want to be a UX designer. And you mentored this individual for a long time. And they're off like successful now as a UX designer.
Who you're talking about. Yeah.
Yes. And the one who you've been talking to recently could not be happier with you mentoring her. Mm-hmm. She is, I cannot tell you how much of a positive influence you are on the students when you contact them, which is why I'd like to have you do more stuff with them. But yeah, you've been a really positive mentor. And I think part of it is that from what I've seen, there's clearly a hierarchy. You are clearly a senior designer over these young designers, but you still treat them like colleagues. Mm-hmm. You don't treat them like they are below you somehow. And they're very inspired by you.
I think establishing that mentor relationship is part of leveling up, because it goes back to when you have that mentor relationship. Take Lauren, for example, who is now very successful, but she still has you. You're still part of her network. Mm-hmm. And I think that just continues to grow and to build. So I think that is a very mm-hmm. important part early on in your quest to level up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And for younger designers, I think that is one of the biggest reasons why I would probably recommend that a designer right out of college join an established team.
Yes.
rather than being like the sole designer at a bootstrap startup somewhere, because you have access to more experienced people that you can build relationships with and network with, and they'll help you grow and figure out what it is you like doing. And it's just easier when you're like in that working like proximity to folks.
I would definitely agree with that, because my first job straight out of school was the only designer at a small place. And then I went to a very successful art department, and it was completely different. Different. And I learned so much from those individuals. I would totally agree with that. I mean, obviously don't turn a job down, but as long as it's a solid job, but I would agree. There's a lot more benefit to being around individuals who are successful. So one of the things that the individual who you have been mentoring did this last, maybe it was last weekend, weekend before last, they went to AIGA Indianapolis to the one of the many portfolio screenings that they do. And they encountered three individuals, two of whom were really great and gave positive feedback. One was not great. One was not great. Unemployed designer who was just nasty to her for for a half hour. And so, and that was the last designer that she spoke to, but overall she got really great feedback. But it's those types of things where it's like, travel an hour and go associate with designers for a Saturday. You know, talk to people. You know, most designers are not jerks.
I did the same thing, actually, when I was in college. I had an internship in San Francisco. And while I was out there, they had their AIGA Design Week event. And they had a portfolio review at the same time. And so I went to that. I was the only person that brought a physical book. This was 2019, so I guess I was a little bit old-fashioned, but I brought, at that time, I brought a physical book, and I got great feedback from everyone that I talked to. And like, some of it was like honest, like I wasn't going there to, you know, just hear that like everything that I, you know, have in here is like great and amazing. And so I think that like seeking out like constructive feedback is so really important.
Some of the your guys' class was the last class that I saw that had like physical portfolios. But when you but when you say that they were physical portfolios, some of them were just incredible. Like storybook that folded out and had, you know, the forest of laser cut pages and all of this stuff. And I was like, I got to step up my game here. What the heck?
That has been collecting dust in my closet for five years across four different apartments.
I have not used my physical portfolio in 10 years, probably. And that was a stretch when I did that.
Dan, do you have a physical representation of your work anymore?
Just muscles. Just muscles. That's it.
And injuries.
I have
scars.
How's the head doing?
I think it's fine. My foot's still messed up. It's kind of weird. Like when I put them next to each other, this foot, my left foot, it just kind of like around the big toe. It just kind of, it, you know, your big toe, and it kind of comes out a little bit right there. This one's just like, whoop.
It's fascinating. Bad. Is that a bunion? Do you have a bunion?
No, it's way big. It's bad. It's
maybe it's like an unborn. Is it like an unborn twin?
Is it
could be.
Does it tell you to burn things?
It does. It talks.
I'm like asking genuine questions and marks here, just like, is it?
It tells me how to vote, which is very helpful.
That is strange. Oh, good. Is it the left or right foot?
The right foot. It's the right foot.
That explains it.
I don't think they could do that when you get so close to a polling station.
But
you would think not, but
mate, you remember the picture that I sent you the other day, Mark, where I tore my finger open?
Yes. Yes, dude, I meant look, to respond to that.
I don't know if you can see, look, almost completely healed.
Wow.
Dude, I'm telling you, you are much like Wolverine, but taller.
It's weird. It's weird, like how like fast I heal. I don't understand it. Other than my foot, apparently.
I'm telling
you, what's going on there?
Maybe all of your injuries move to one place.
That could be it.
That could happen. I've heard it happens. So yeah, I think that most of the time when people do find mentors, I think you kind of talked about this a little bit, Lauren. It's and Dan with the thing in the grocery store. It's not really formal. People don't come up to you and say, "Will you be my mentor?" You just start talking to them, and then you have a rapport, and you just. There are people at ISU that I would say that I'm their mentor in some way. It's never beneficial that I'm their mentor. I had one person, great guy, come up to me and was like, "I want you to be my mentor." I was like, "Sure, cool,
yeah,
we'll talk design." He's like, "Awesome."
See, at which I thought was kind of strange because I've always kind of seen it as, you know, mentorships it's a natural, you know, relationship that evolves, but at Rebecca's job, it's actually they're assigned to, like, you find a mentor and you go up and you formally say, "Hey, would you be my mentor through this?" And it's also like leadership program through the University of Dayton, which I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yes. Yes. Lauren, you spoke with Kayla Gray, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. The company that she works for now, you go in and they are like, "This person is your mentor. Your onboarding is," they have an onboarding program that is just spectacular.
Oh, that's awesome.
And they kind of, you know, gently feed you projects that your mentor is kind of the lead on. And eventually they give you like full projects and marketing stuff. And eventually the training wheels come off, but you always have somebody who will answer your questions.
Yeah. We kind of had a similar system for our co-op program. That also kind of happened organically. Like, we would occasionally get co-ops from University of Cincinnati, the university that's like, you know, close to us. And it kind of started like the first week, there was always just, we kind of like picked like one person and it was like, "Okay, Lauren, like, you're going to like onboard this co-op and you're going to be like, be their point person to like, for them to ask questions and things like that." And that kind of started because we didn't always do that. And
that's cool. Co-ops
didn't always like know who to go to when they had a question about like even small things. And so it just happened, like, we called it like a buddy system. And so just like having a buddy to like ask those questions to. And then eventually it's just like, okay, now we just work really closely together and we're colleagues and we have that kind of relationship now. But
yeah, that's fantastic. These
are really just buddies, but with more mature language. So
sure.
less swings and playgrounds and just, you know,
Yeah.
My first teaching gig, I had applied for it and I was hired within 24 hours because of somebody who was a mentor to me when I went to that school. It always helps to stay in touch with people.
Yeah.
I love to stay in touch with students because for anybody who is in higher education, you don't really see the fruits of what you've done. It's not like you get a report that's just like, so-and-so is making this much and has 1.2 kids and you're a success, Mark, because you did this. I just like to hear from them. And no matter what they're doing, as long as they're happy, I'm cool with it. But if they're professionals in what I've you know, taught, it's even better because I there's a little bit of me that goes along out with them. And I just think
I don't know if you know this, but like 26, 27 years ago, probably about 26 years ago, I actually worked with a guy in a warehouse, kept in touch with that guy today, doing a podcast with him.
Oh my gosh.
Crazy. Oh my God. And around that same time, I was born.
Mark, tell us about how Kristen got her job at Miami University.
She kept in contact with Aaron, who taught letterpress at Miami. She asked for help letterpressing, wedding invites, and then ended up in a teaching gig.
But 4 years later, like, because Kristen had mentioned while they were just, you know, letterpressing wedding invitations that teaching at Miami was a dream job for her.
Yeah.
And Aaron remembered that. But no, that's really, I think that really goes to show that, like, if you keep, like, don't burn any bridges because you never know, like, when there a new opening is going to happen and who's going to be hiring for it.
Yeah.
Well, so I legitimately do have a story about this, and I hope that he doesn't kill me, but my husband kind of leveled up in his career by changing jobs. The company that he worked at shortly after college, the role that he had there kind of had evolved. To make a kind of long story short, he got a degree in athletic training, and then COVID happened, and so sports stopped. And so he got a job in IT at a company nearby. And eventually his role kind of evolved in such a way that he was being asked to do work in Salesforce. And, you know, kind of how we talked about just kind of raising your hand and saying yes to things in a previous episode, that's something that he did. He raised his hand and he volunteered to do work in Salesforce. And then he leveraged that to get a job at a Salesforce consulting agency. And that was a big level up in multiple ways. And so, yeah, I think that's, there's and
really,
that.
And he really enjoys his job.
He does. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think, I didn't even think about talking about me with this for whatever reason.
I thought that several times, like, Mark, surely someone who's on track to become a tenured professor has leveled up in their career.
Well,
speak to that very briefly.
Well, yeah. And I could certainly talk about leveling up in my design career. I don't think I could say anything that you guys haven't already said, but with mine, part of it is that there's the, you know, the entry fee of having a grad degree and you have to have like the right grad degree and so on. But really I think for me, leveling up there, it's kind of built into the job. Mm-hmm. If you start at an assistant professorship, and you do what you should do, and you work about 6 years, you go up for tenure. If you get tenure, you're moved to another position. Mm-hmm. And with each one of those positions, you get pay raises, you get responsibilities. And the more that you put out there research-wise or, you know, working within design in communities with big clients, whatever it may be, the more prestige that you can get for the university by being someone who's really great in their field, the closer that you get to full professorship. Mm-hmm. And from what I understand, it takes about 10 years to do that, as long as you keep producing and producing and producing. So yeah, every day it's It's how do I make the program better so the people are employable? And then I have this completely other separate job, which is how do I stay relevant and produce design work, illustration work, artwork, present, you know, if I choose to write papers, you know, how do I do those things in order to keep everything going for tenure? And then how do I, you know, really push that into overdrive past tenure? Mm-hmm. Once you get tenure, it's, you know, it's more smooth sailing after that, in that you don't have to worry about this big hurdle, but your priorities change to becoming more involved in how the university works through committees, and you make much bigger decisions about how things are going to run.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of, I don't know if that makes sense.
I think it makes sense. Do you feel a sense of growth, like outside of the very structured kind of progression of roles in higher education? Do you feel kind of a sense of leveling up reflected in the output that your students have as far as like the quality of their work and how that reflects on you as a teacher?
Yeah. Their work is definitely better and better every year. I took on the responsibility of coming in and really reformatting and updating an entire program. So it was kind of like, here's a sandbox, blank slate, just go for it. Whatever you want to do, do it. We trust you. We know that you work within systems really well. That's your shtick. You're an illustrator as well as the designer. Make it work. We want to see employable students and students who are going beyond the college campus to do really great things. And it's been very satisfying to watch the students over time grow and become more employable, better jobs, higher paying jobs, a lot more responsibility. Individuals who are just going well beyond the campus, you know, traveling to Indianapolis from Terre Haute to design functions, students who want to interview in Cincinnati, you know, things like that. And it's been really cool. That's very satisfying. It falls far beyond the normal duties of somebody who is in my position at the moment, which is pre-tenured. But I knew that going in. And Dennis, who we both know from Miami, was kind of my mentor there. And Dennis actually spoke with the individual who would become my department chair, and he was like, yeah, this place needs you. This place needs somebody with your skills. And Dennis wanted to produce individuals who did more than just the norm, more than just, I'm going to go get a job, I'm going to become a faceless individual in this university. He wanted to produce people who were going to really change things. And so that's one of the reasons I took the job, is because he was like, these people need you. They're very clear about it. And they want the best design program in that part of the country. And so that's what I'm trying to do. We're right in the grad program at the moment. And so that's going to be fun. And that's going to bring whole new challenges and potentially hires and everything else. So yeah, it's just a lot of fun. I've never worked somewhere where there was this much of my destiny that I was in charge of. I mean, it was literally like walking in an empty room and being told, build this. And that almost never happens. A lot of the times in higher ed, you come in contact with individuals who have been there for 40 years, and they're like, well, it hasn't been done that way before. And this didn't really have that. So I didn't have to deal with those types of things. And that allowed me to bring Kristen in and allowed me to bring you in and allowed me to play with curriculum and do all sorts of really cool things. So yeah. I love it. It's incredibly stressful. but I adore it.
Yeah.
And that's one part of the job. The other part is I come home and I do like digital artwork and and design work, and all of that counts. And you know, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But I love it every day. I love it. No matter how stressed I am. I love it. I don't know if that answers your question, but
I think it does. And I think it goes to show that at the end of the day, leveling up as a designer looks different for everybody. Yeah. You heard three people here tell three very different stories of leveling up and what it means to them. And I think as listeners, you can take your own path as well.
Yes.
Yes. Absolutely.
This has been OK Team, A Young Designer's Guide. We are your hosts,
Mark Sela,
Dan Lawson, and our special guest host,
Lauren DeMars.
We will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye now.
Goodbye.
I do want to issue a correction. Mark, a couple episodes ago, you said that I had put 400 hours into Animal Crossing.
No, I said that is incorrect. I said you had put like 1,500 in, is what I said. Yeah, you said.
Yeah, you said like, yeah.
You said 700.
Yeah, okay. So I'd like to issue a self-correction because it is like 1,600 hours. I looked it up after that episode, and I was like, well, this is very unfortunate.
She's the worst.